Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. Tonight's episode will examine the very powerful Pauline prepositional phrase, in Christ. In Christ. In Christ is the key to understanding the Christology of Paul. We're going to be examining a few verses from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul arrived in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. The theme of this great book is our vital union with Christ and our duty to live as such. The word in, or the preposition in, occurs no less than 120 times in the Greek. It is the biggest word in the book. Paul uses the term or the prepositional phrase in Christ over 148 times in his 13 epistles. Paul's emphasis in Ephesians is our position as members of the body of Christ. Our position as members of the body of Christ is given prominence in this book. Paul's letter to the Colossians emphasizes the kephale, Christ, the head of the body. We receive our nourishment. We receive our nutrients. He mediates the vital knowledge that you and I need for our spiritual growth. Jesus, for Paul, had invaded and conquered the cosmic system of the devil. And so therefore the saints of God, or the set-apart ones of God, must know the power that is available to them as the huios of God, as the sons of God. This is gender inclusive, both men and women. Now, because they are in Christ, are considered gender inclusive. That is, we are all the sons of God. With enlightenment comes enablement. We see this in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians has a rich vocabulary. It contains 42 words that occur nowhere else in the New Testament, and 39 that occur nowhere else in the Pauline epistles. And so what we have for us is this marvelous book on Christological ontology. Paul emphasizes the radical newness of what it means to be in Christ. The Greek preposition in, en in Greek, is a very stunning word. And so we have in Christ, we have the preposition in, and we have as the object of the preposition the word Christ. In, as in Greek prepositions, is a not only a defines position, is also a preposition of rest. We are at rest in Christ. And so it is very powerful for and very important for believers to understand what this means. And once again, means locative of sphere. That is, it speaks of location or sphere of location. and it is also a preposition of rest. So you and I rest in Christ. In other words, those things from the past are made to cease in Him. And so we have the marvelous rest of salvation in Christ. This explosive prepositional phrase is the key, once again, to understanding the marvelous Christology of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians 1, verse 1, we read, quote, Paul, an apostle, or sent one of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful, and here we go, in Christ Jesus. We read in verse 1, the saints in Ephesus, and also we read, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace, charis, and peace, irene, to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we can have peace with God or peace in God, we must have the grace of God. It is through God's grace, God's unmerited favor, that you and I receive the peace of God through Christ Jesus. I want you to focus on the just the wellness, the healthy spirituality that you and I have because of Him. What God has done for us is marvelous beyond words. Praise, or eulogetos. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ. Verse 4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with this pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption, or to be purchased back, through the instrumentality of His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That means, the word forgiveness, aphemē, means to be set off from us. We have forgiveness because of Christ. Forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished, not on us, the Greek read, that He lavished into us in all wisdom, Sophia, and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. And now we're talking about eschatological events, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one kephale, one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Paul's thoughts are so filled with wonder and glory and praise and inestimable depth that he does not stop. His neurons have been so filled with power and the grace of God. God has used his very cogent and brilliant legal mind now to make him the world's greatest theologian. And now his neurons cannot contain the wonderful knowledge that God has given to him. Paul overcome by grace. He just pours out what God has done in his heart, I want you to see the intimate connection between Paul's neurons and his brain and then the neurons in his heart. You know that the heart itself has over 40,000 neurons of its own, that each cell of the body has neurologic material. And so Paul is overcome. He is so excited about grace and what grace has done for him. Thoughts just flood out through his pen. And he wants God's people to know the depths of his grace. And so Paul connects redemption, forgiveness, predestination. He connects these marvelous thoughts. We were chosen in him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He pours out these truths. They just flood out of him. He goes on, he says, he writes, having believed, you were marked with, in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit or down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Each one of these words is a pregnant theological treatise. And so with Paul's theology, we have to unpack what God has told him, what God has revealed to him. We have to unpack what is going on in Paul's mind constantly as he reflects on grace, on what God has done. He can't contain it. There is one area in Paul's letter to the Ephesians where he is so overcome, he goes on and on and on talking about grace until we don't see the main verb until 4 to 5 verses down. This man's life has been changed forever by the grace of God. He uses 4 different words in the Greek to talk about power, although they have been translated by one word into English as power. He uses dynamios, which means to be able. He uses energien, or energy. He uses kratos, which means presence and significance of force. He uses ischelos, which means to be strong, to avail, all in an effort to bring before believers the very powerful Christologic ontology that is presented in this letter to the Ephesians. And even after studying Paul's letters for years and years and years, I'm still taken aback by the small amount that I do know. I'm taken aback by the richness of what God revealed to Paul's mind. I'm astonished. I'm constantly astonished by the power of the Spirit and this brave, this wonderful new world that God has revealed to the Apostle Paul and that Paul has left for us, the saints, to understand the truth of what God has done for all of his saints, all of the set aside ones, those who know him, those who Paul calls the constantly believing ones. Because God makes all things new in Christ Jesus. Beloved, God bless you. Please, when you get an opportunity, read through Paul's letter to the Ephesians in one setting. Do not stop. God bless you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Good night.